Morning River Church, how we doing? God is good, amen? Hey, that song that they just sang, that last one, Come to the River, is a special one. Many of you guys maybe not even heard it before, at least sang it here. That song we sang on our first service ever as a church, and which is pretty cool. You can clap for that, yeah. And I was thinking, man, there's a lot of things that have changed in the last 8 years, but one thing that has not changed is that God is good. Amen? Amen. And so today we celebrate that on our eight-year anniversary. Can you believe it, right? God is good. Yeah, you can just keep on clapping. It's okay. We can keep on. And so, man, we're excited to celebrate with you today. And I'll say this, if you're new here, first off, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And you're here on a special day. We're celebrating our eight-year anniversary. And as we've been saying for the last month, we're a second grader, guys. We made it, right? We made it. Pretty soon, we'll be getting hair in our armpits, and we'll be smelling funny, and we'll be a real church, right? One of these days, right? Any of you guys here remember your when you turned eight? Anybody remember your eighth birthday party? No? Some of you get pretty old, huh? You're like, yeah, I don't remember my 50th birthday party, right? Yeah. I remember my eighth birthday party, because I'm only like 25, so it wasn't that long ago, right? But I remember mine. One reason I remember it is because I was turning the number of my favorite football player, which was Troy Aikman, who was number eight. So that tells you maybe I'm not 25, right? Because it's been a long time since Troy Aikman played for the Cowboys, even longer since they were good. But anyway, we'll move past that. But I remember I turned eight. I thought it was so cool. It's Troy Aikman's number. It's my Troy Aikman year, right? And so I was excited about that. We got Troy Aikman football that year on Sega. I remember my dad taking me to Walmart and we got Troy Aikman football. Some of you guys are like, what's a Sega, right? I got a set on Troy Aikman football or Sega. It wasn't a very good game, but I remember that. It made it a pretty special day. And so, today as we turn eight, as a church, we want it to be a day that we remember, and we just want to praise God. We want to thank God for his faithfulness and goodness to us as a church, and Pastor Joel and I were talking this week, and we're like, when do you stop celebrating, like, church anniversaries? Like, when does that happen? Because we're like, it's important to us, like, but maybe a lot of people, we don't care about this, right? What's going on? Like, so when do you stop? Maybe it's like birthdays, right? Where there's a certain point where it's not fun anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, when do we reach that point? But as I was thinking about that this week, and if I'm honest, we'll probably continue to do this for many years to come for one big reason, because it gives us kind of a natural rhythm in our year as a church. That no matter what's going on, whether it's good or bad, ugly, whatever's going on in our church world or in our world around us, it gives us a natural opportunity to just stop and thank God for his faithfulness. To stop and thank him for his goodness specifically to us as a body of believers. And so that's really what today is about. We're just glorifying him and we're praising him and we're thanking him. And there's a story in the Old Testament from Joshua 3 and 4 that really kind of points to what I'm thinking about today, where I want to go today. And the context of it is this. The Israelites have left Egypt, right? They were slaves in Egypt. They've left Egypt. They've been traveling in the desert for 40 years or so, right? A long time. Moses has passed away, and now you've got Joshua who's leading the Israelites, and he's about to take them into the Promised Land, and it's called the Promised Land because it's the land that was, there you go, you guys are quick today, right? It's the Promised Land, and so they've been traveling for, like I said, 40 years. They've been waiting for this moment, anticipating this moment. They're excited about this moment. They've been dreaming about this moment. This is the moment. They're about to enter into the Promised Land. They get there, and in the way is a river. Can you imagine for 40 years traveling to get to a place that God has told you, I'm gonna give you an opportunity, a place where you can raise up your families, I'm gonna build up a people, I'm gonna make a great nation. We're gonna get to that place, and you get there and you're thinking, we're almost there, and you come up and there's a huge, impassable river in the way. Think about that. Think about what they might be thinking and feeling, like you can see to the other side. You can taste the promise. You can see the promise. You can smell the promise. It's right there. It's right there. And yet there's this impassable thing. There's no way to cross. There's nothing you can do to get to the other side. Like, it's not a situation where it's like, hey, just build a boat, because we're not talking about 2, 3, 4 families. We're talking 2 to 3 million people. And so they get to this place where they see the promise and there's no way to get to it. That's the moment the Israelites are at. That's what they're seeing. That's where we're going to pick up today. Joshua chapter 3. Here they are. They're looking. They can see the promise. They can taste the promise. They can't get to the promise. And then God says something insane. Joshua 3, starting in verse 12. It says, so God comes to him, and this is what he tells them to do. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. And when the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of the whole earth come to rest on the Jordan's water, its waters will be cut off, and the water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass. So what did God just say? There's 12 tribes of Israel, right? There's 12 different tribes. He says, get a man from each tribe, get them to carry the ark. Priests are going to lead them to the ark and to the water. And when the priests put their feet in the water, as soon as they do, the water from the river that's flowing, this huge river, is going to stop and it's going to dry up. That sounds insane. Imagine being Joshua, like, all right, guys, here's what God said to do. Got an idea. No one wants to be that guy, right? Like, walking up, he's like, all right, we're going to get some folks. We're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the river. And when we get there, God's going to do a miracle. That sounds crazy. And yet here they are, right? It sounds about as crazy as God telling Moses, I'm going to set your people free from slavery. Sounds about as crazy as walk up to this Red Sea, I'm going to part it. It sounds about as crazy as you're traveling, I'm going to feed you with manna from heaven every day. What? What is manna? And is it going to be like pelting us? Like, what's happening? Is it going to be falling from the sky? Like birds, like I've seen things fall from the sky from birds, and that ain't stuff you eat, right? Here's where we are. It's another miracle moment from God. And maybe, just maybe, if the Israelite people are obedient and do what God tells them to do, then maybe God will do what he says he will do. Just an idea. Look at how it continues, verse 14. It says, and when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. And now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priest carried, so it says it was overflooded. The river was flooded, right? But as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge. Like, they didn't even get in it. They touched the edge of the water. And look what happens. And the water flowing downstream stood still. And rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, the city to Zarethan, the water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah and the Dead Sea was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. That's so understated. Water was cut off and the people crossed. No, 3 million people crossed and a river stopped flowing. And the priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation finished crossing the Jordan. The entire nation. Again, that's like half a DFW crossing over a river. That's insane. They were obedient, and God was faithful. They were obedient, and God did what he told them he would do. Now, that's an amazing passage in of itself, right? That's incredible. But that's not quite what I want us to see. We might come back to it. We'll see. But it's really the next verses in chapter 4 that explains why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing today. Look at verse 1 in chapter 4. It says, "After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from the people, one from each tribe,'" we're doing the person from each tribe again, "'and commanded them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, so take them from the river, and carry them with you, and set them down at a place where you spend the night.' So Joshua summoned the 12 men that he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder.'" So this ain't a pebble, it's a stone. "And for one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that what? Verse 6, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' you should tell them, 'The water Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant, and when it crossed the Jordan and the Jordan's water cut off, therefore these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" He said, take one person from each tribe, get you a stone, and do what? Build an altar, build a memorial. Why? Because one day people are going to see them and they're going to go, "What is that?" One day, he said, your children. Why? Because children are what? Curious. You go anywhere with your kids, like, what is this? What is this? What does this do? What is this? They're touching everything. You're like, stop, right? This is one of those moments where it works in our favor, right? They see the stones and the kids are going to go, because kids are curious, what is that? And then that's when we get to tell them how God was faithful. And that's when we get to tell them that God performs a miracle. And that's when we get to tell them that God is good. So they said, build up an altar, build up a memorial, because your kiddos are going to see it, and then you get to brag on God. And that's what today is for us. Today we're not crossing any rivers, right? Unless it rains and that back was pretty flooded, right? But today we've crossed the rivers, and today we get to brag on God. Amen? We get to brag on God's faithfulness. We get to, today's a day where as a church for 8 years, God has been good to us, and we get to go, here's what God has done for our church. Last night even, we were praying with our kids, and it had been a long day, and we were tired, and we were just kind of going through the motions of the prayer, and we do this thing where everybody prays, and when you got four kids, it takes a long time, right? Right? Especially when they're wandering off, and you're like, okay, come back, get it back, right? Come, please, right? And it was my turn to pray, and I started praying, and God just convicted me, and he's like, stop, and tell your kids, thank them for the river, and tell your kids what tomorrow's about. And so we stopped, and we talked about it, and they weren't listening. They were all over the place. They're rolling around. But I believe it gets in there, right? I believe it gets in there. It's today's a day where we get to brag on God, because we get to tell our kids and we get to tell our church and we get to tell anybody who's listening to that live stream that this is a place where God has moved, saved souls, and changed lives. And today is testimony day for the river, because it's not about how great we are. Believe me, it ain't the preaching. Believe me, right? It's that God is good. God saves, God moves, God has blessed this church, God has been faithful to us, amen? And so today, we're just going to talk about it. We've got some pictures we want to show you, amen, and just walk through a few things, right? When we dreamed about the river 9-10 years ago, there I am. Look at how young I look. I look the exact same, huh? Yeah, I'm 29 in that picture, by the way, so that's been a few years. That was about 10 years ago. We would dream about the River Church. We had no idea what would happen. We thought maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't, right? We just believed this was something that God told us to do, and so we tried to be obedient. Does that make sense? We believe God told us to do it. We tried to be obedient. We started with things like this. This is my parents' house. There's like 10 people here, 12 people here, and we're just sharing about, hey, here's what we want to do. Here's a dream. Here's a vision. By the way, like 8 of those 12 people still part of the church. Isn't that pretty cool? Praise God for that, right? We did some dream team meetings. Hit that next one, Amy. This was a little backyard worship that we had. Again, that's everybody. And that was just people telling, hey, invite your friends. They're called dream team, or we call them launch team parties, excuse me. We come, we just share about, here's who we want to be. Here's what we want the church to be. And we just say, hey, tell your friends we're having a cookout. And then we're going to tell them about a church we're trying to start, right? So it was a trick, right? It was a trick. All right, a little sketchy, but hey, it worked, okay? So here we are, all right? So that was, there's still so many people here that are still there. That's, there you see Ryan and Katie right there. Every one of those people that are sitting on that stage are still in the band. You see Andy back there. Andy, he's not in here right now, but he had a lot more hair back then. Sorry, Andy. Ryan, some of you guys can't see this. This one right here is Ryan's face. Some of you guys have never seen Ryan's face before. That's it right there. That's it, right? And it's not white. There you go. His beard's not white, right? It's crazy, right? So we started with a dream team or launch team parties, inviting people, and then hit that next one. This is our first service at Cinemark and Alliance. Any of you guys ever watched the movie in Cinemark Alliance? Yeah, that's where we started church. Why didn't you come to church, you jerk? What are you thinking, right? Here we are. This one, again, is our first service, and you can tell my preaching wasn't going very well based on the faces. You see that? That might be why only about 30 people showed up the next week, right? So we were there for about 2 years, and God was good, and then as we were there for about 2 years, they came to us and they said, "Hey, we're about to renovate this place, and you're gonna lose about half your seating," which wasn't really a problem because there wasn't that many people there. But they said you're gonna lose your kids' ministry space as well, and that was a problem. And so we said, "I don't know what we're gonna do." And then that they called me on a Tuesday. That Friday, I had a phone call from the principal of Whitley Road Elementary School. We had a meeting set up, and Ezra in that meeting, he said something to me without me asking. He said, "Hey, if you guys ever would like to meet here and have your church meet here, we'd love that." And I went, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "I don't even got to pray about it. You've answered a prayer I haven't prayed yet." That's what I told him. "You've answered a prayer I haven't prayed yet. Yes." Now, one reason why that's so surprising is because when we tried to find a meeting space, we had called 30 schools, 5 movie theaters, and 2 community centers. They all told me no, and one of them told me, "Stop calling me." Matter of fact, the school district that this school's in, yeah, that's one of our first services there at Whitley Road, called me and said, "Stop calling our schools. You can't meet in our school district," right? "Stop calling us." The principal said, "We want you here." Isn't God good? That's good. So we were there for 2 more years, and then something happened. I can't remember this little thing. Hit that next one, Amy. I'm unsure. What do we? Oh no, you got, these are some baptisms. Praise God for that. Yeah, there's. Yep. Sorry. And then this thing happened. You guys remember a little blip in the radar? We were homeless. We were homeless. Not the school's fault. They didn't have a choice in it. We were homeless. We didn't know what we were gonna do. Didn't know where we were gonna go. We were confused. Now, I remember in this, and I shared this last year. This is very honest. We started meeting on Saturday nights, a little Methodist church, and it was awful. Smelled bad, no kids' spaces. It was 5 o'clock on Saturdays. It was like 20 people coming, and when the church's fault, it just wasn't working. And I remember praying and talking to God, and I told him, honestly, I said, "God, I don't know what's going to happen with the river. Don't know where we're going to go. But I said, thank you for what it's been. Like, if this is the end of the river, thank you for what it's been." And God, he wasn't done with us yet. Praise God. Amen. He wasn't done with us yet because somehow in a pandemic, we got the keys to this bad boy. Praise God. Amen. And so here we are. This was the church. When we got it, I affectionately call this color poop brown that the church was painted. It's real, real beautiful, just inviting. And then we renovated, made it look like it looks now. And we had our first service that on our 5-year anniversary, we got to praise God for being in this new space. Isn't that awesome? And then at that 5-year anniversary service, half of our leadership team got COVID. You remember that? Half our leadership team got COVID. And then that crazy ice storm happened and we had to shut down for another month. So we tried to get going. But ever since then, we've been going. You can just keep scrolling through those. And God's been good to us. And the last 3 years, man, have just been a picture of God's faithfulness. Salvations and baptisms and community groups and people serving together and trying to build up families. And it's crazy, man, because you know it. Since we moved in this place, the church has tripled in size. We had to add, or almost tripled in size. We had to add a second service this last year. Like the story of that is just that God is good. and that he's been faithful to us. And we crossed those rivers, each one of those rivers that we had to cross, whether it was starting a church or finding a building, the movie theater, and then losing the movie theater and finding a school and then losing the school and finding a building. Like each one of those rivers that we crossed, it wasn't because we were smart or we knew what we were doing, but it was just because we tried to be obedient to what God was calling us to do, and he was faithful every time. That's the way it works. That's the way it goes. And this place is special because God is here and he's moving. And I believe, man, I believe if you're here for any stretch of time, if you hang out with us for a couple weeks or a year or any stretch of time, eventually you're going to see, man, God's in this place. And it's special not because of the preaching or the music, although the band's fantastic, amen, right? Or because we got the best community groups or all, I mean, we got a lot of good stuff here. But the river's special because God is in this place. And if he wasn't, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. Like, I love you guys. I wouldn't come hang out with you if you wasn't here. It'd be over, right? Maybe dinner at the house, right? Maybe catch a game, right? Right? God's here. When we dreamed the river, we had no idea what would happen. It was us looking across the Jordan, believing that God had called us to something, having no idea what would happen, just wanting to be obedient. And that, church, really is what a church plant is. It's putting your faith in God and trying to build and create something that doesn't exist. It's building a new family. It's creating a new family. It's a miracle, is what it is. And today is really that the story of the river for the past 10 years, is that in the good and the bad, God is faithful. In the certain times and the uncertain times, God is faithful. That in the good and the bad, God's hand has been on our church. In the certain and the uncertain, God's hand has been on our church. The constant story of the River Church and any church and any believer is that God is faithful. Over and over and over. And you may not always see it. You may not always feel it. You may not always know it's there, but he is faithful. And he's good. And he's kind. And he's generous. And so in the last 8 years, man, God has allowed us as a church to see souls saved and lives changed. We've got to baptize a lot of folks. We've dedicated a lot of babies, right? It's one way we grew the church, was like everybody started having babies, right? Pandemic happened, people got bored, all of a sudden we got babies, right? Here we are, right? We've been able to serve our community in some really cool ways. We've been able to create a family. Like when we say welcome to the family and everybody cheers and gets excited, it's not because it's like, yeah, it's what we do. It's because we really believe that this place is a family. And that's what it looks like. And it doesn't matter how big we grow or small, it's a family. And we're glad you're here. And we got some crazy uncles and some crazy aunts. You got a crazy preacher, but you're a part of the family. And so we believe it's a good place to be. And so we're grateful. And today we want to honor God for that. We want to worship God for that. We want to praise his name for that. We hope you're blessed because of that. Whether you've been here for 8 years or 8 days, we hope that you're blessed by God's faithfulness today and the testimonies of God's faithfulness today as we look back and we see his goodness. But not only do we look back, we want to look ahead. Like, where is, as a church, where's God taking us? What does it look like? What's he calling us to, right? My birthday, just turned 38. Yep, getting up there, right? Almost 40. Midlife crisis is coming. I think it may already have gotten here, to be honest. But every year, my birthday and the new year hits. My birthday is January 8th. So within like a week, I get new year, birthday. And then the river birthday is, you know, at the end of the month. And so there's a lot happening, right? I'm very, you're thinking new year, we're getting really introspective. You turn a year older, you get really introspective. We celebrate something like this, you get really introspective. And so every year around this time, like the month of January, is just a really introspective time for me, right? Personally, because all those things are happening and I spend a lot of time reflecting, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so, this month, been reflecting, what do I want for myself? What do I want for my family? What do I want for my church, right? What's God directing me to next, us to next, right? And that's kind of where January is always like for me. And so I've been praying about our church and where, God, where are we going next, God? What do you want for us next? And I'm not somebody that's like, you know, God gave me a word. Sometimes he does. I'm not somebody that I get that. But as I've been praying, there's been two words that have been coming to my mind as I've been thinking about where we head in 2024. And those two words are really this. One, connection, because as we're growing, and like I said, we've almost tripled in size in the last couple of years. We want to stay connected. Amen. We stay connected with that family, right? And so that we'll talk about that more later on. But the second word there is growth. Growth. Now, when I say growth, I'm not talking about numerical growth. I'm not talking about, let's get 1,000 folks in here. That'd be great. Let's do it. Why not, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. And when I talk about growth, I'm not talking about like 5 steps to a new you growth either, right? I'm not about to lay out a plan and like, if you do this, you'll be happy, right? Follow Jesus, it'll work out, right? That's what I believe. But when I say growth, it's the growth we don't like. When I'm thinking about growth, it's what I've been calling it the hard growth. It's a challenge, really, I think, for me and as I'm leading our church to this hard growth, the growth that requires obedience. The growth that requires obedience. And you know why it requires obedience? Because we don't want to do it. If we wanted to, you wouldn't have to be obedient, right? Like when I tell my kids, hey, it's time to wake up in the morning. Like that obedience is not, woohoo, let's go, right? No, they're doing fine. Obedience is, oh, right? Fine. Get up, right? Right? That's what we're talking about. The hard growth, the growth that requires obedience. That's what I feel God calling me to and our church to this year, the hard growth. Think back to the story. Think back to the story of the Israelites. The story ends, we always like the end of the story. The story ends with them in the promised land. They put some rocks on top of each other, and they go, look, God is good. Look, God is good. They build the statue, they build the altar, they build the memorial, and they point to it, and they're in the promised land. That's the part of the story that we like. We like the miracle, we like the rocks, like we like being in the promised land, but before God performed the miracle, what happened? Lots of bad stuff, yeah. Obedience. Before they got to pile the rocks, before they got to see the miracle, they had to be obedient. God said, go get 12 men, carry that ark into the water. Before that, he told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Before that happened, he said, I want you to stand at the Red Sea, hold your arms up, I'm going to part that bad boy. Every step of the way, they got to an impassable situation, and God said, be obedient. They were obedient, and God was faithful. And now they get to stack stones and they get to look back and they say, God was good. But you don't have the stones, you don't have the miracle if they weren't obedient. Right? Like, here's what I mean by that. Now, God does miracles and God can do whatever he wants. And sometimes we're dumb and we don't do what he says, and he still is good to us and kind to us and still works for us. Amen? Praise his name. Praise his name, right? But let me say this. If God said to Joshua, hey, go get you 12 men. I want you to carry that Ark of the Covenant into the water. Walk up, put your feet in it. I'm going to part that bad boy. I'm going to do something special. What if they did this? Let's see what happens. And they never went and got the 12 men. They never got the Ark. They never carried it in. And then they look back and they go, why aren't you doing what you said you were going to do, God? You said you were going to part the thing. You said we were going to walk through it. Why aren't you doing what you said you were going to do? I imagine God's going, because, dummy, you remember the thing I told you to do? Hard growth requires obedience. Requires obedience. Say, so what does that have to do with us? Well, in planting the River Church, there's a lot of hard times. Believe me. There were times literally in my, shouldn't tell you this, sorry guys, there was times I was in my office praying, God, you can kill this thing if you want, it's killing me, right? I don't know what to do. There's a lot of that. But in obedience, I've seen God be faithful. And I think about our story. What does this have to do with me? You want some stones to look back on? You want to see God's faithfulness? Maybe it starts with our obedience. You want to pile up some rocks? Maybe it starts with our obedience. So what does the next year look like for the river? What does the hard growth look like for the river? What's your next step? But we say here, we want to help you know God, find freedom from sin, shame, guilt, and the grave. We want to help you discover your purpose, and we want to help you make a difference. What's your next step? What's the step you're avoiding? Maybe it's know God. Maybe you need to get baptized. You're like, I ain't getting baptized. I'm scared to get in front of people. Let's dunk you and praise God for it because he's good. Maybe you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. They got these community groups. I don't really want to be I know God's telling me I should be a part of one. I don't get in a community group. Maybe it's you going, I know God's calling me to lead a community group and be a part of leading one, but I don't know. I'm scared. I know he's telling me to do it. Be obedient. Maybe it's tithing. I know he's telling me to be faithful and trust him with my money. I'm scared. Be obedient. Maybe it's serving in some capacity and you're going, I know that God's calling me to make a difference and he's got this place and he's given these gifts that he wants to use and glorify him. I don't know. Be obedient. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's not something that even has to do with the river, right? Maybe it's forgiving somebody and it's hard because they hurt you and God's calling you to it. Be obedient. Maybe it's giving up that sin that you like it a whole lot and you don't want to, but you know God's saying, you got to do this. We got to kill this. You got to let me go to work and you be obedient. Be obedient. So what's next? In each of us, there are places in our relationship with God where we're walking and we're following and we're going, and eventually we come to that Jordan River moment and he says, here's what I want you to do in order to be obedient, but it's hard or it's uncomfortable and we don't want to do it, but we know in order to be obedient, we got to get that ark and we got to put our feet in the water. Put your feet in the water. Let's do it. Because maybe on the other side of the Jordan is victory. Maybe on the other side of the Jordan is a promise fulfilled. Maybe on the other side of the Jordan is a healthy family. Maybe it's healthy relationships. Maybe it's finding purpose. Maybe it's getting connected. Maybe it's growth. Like maybe you choose to be obedient and then suddenly God begins to part the waters and maybe there's a miracle that happens in your life. And then maybe, just maybe, this same time next year as we celebrate our 9-year anniversary, God willing, and we begin to celebrate all that God has done for our church, you're reminded of this moment when you decided you want to stack some rocks. And a reminder of, man, I decided to be obedient at that service. Even when it was hard and even when it was uncomfortable, I was going to be obedient. And now that I'm looking back, God was faithful. And you get to look back and go, look at what God has done in my life. And maybe you even get to tell somebody about it. Maybe your kids, you get to tell them about how God was faithful. Maybe it's a friend. You get to say, look how God was faithful. Maybe your family, you say, God's healed our family. Look what he's done. It was hard. It was uncomfortable, but we were obedient. Look what he did. Starts with obedience. I want to see what amazing things God will do in your life, in my life, in our church, if we would choose first obedience. We wouldn't just sit and look at the Jordan and go, do something. But we will be obedient in the hard things, in the hard growth, that God would grow us. The River Church is a testimony of the faithfulness of the goodness of God. We've been able to build up stones along the way to look back on and see it and know it. And like we sang this morning, taste and see that God is good. So church, may we be reminded of it. May we worship him for it. And may that be our story this year. Amen? Growth in the hard things. Obedience in the hard things. So that we could stack some rocks. So that we can step back and be amazed by God. So church, this year, let's go stack some rocks. Let's do it. And say it like this, like we say in our dream team huddle every single Sunday before we come in here, we pray and we end with this. Let's do this. Let's do it, church. Stand with me. God, you are good and you are faithful. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to our church. We thank you for your faithfulness to our families. We thank you just for your goodness and the fact that we have salvation, that you made a way that we might know you, God. And we thank you for that. We honor you for that. We praise you for that. And today, all we want to do really is just praise your name, because you are good and you are kind and you are generous to us, Jesus. And so we thank you for that today. We praise you for that today, God. I pray today that as we worship you, that you would show us the places where we need to be obedient, and we'd be brave enough to do it. We'd be brave enough to be obedient. And then we'd see your faithfulness, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Anybody said,